And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from our Bottleneck Drive Grape Escape Summerland. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia and all 20 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today, we're on location at our Summerland Bottleneck Drive Grape Escape. We're at Haywire Winery, and our host is Christine Coletta. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Wonderful to see you.
Great to see you. You don't have enough on your plate, so you decided to go back and run Bottleneck Drive for a while?
You know, it was my turn.
It was your
turn.
It
really was my turn. I'd been passing the baton on.
Can you tell listeners how easy it is to get wineries together to agree on anything?
Actually, the fewer wineries, the easier it is. We've got a great group of members,
and we've
got some exciting new additions to our programming this year.
Yeah, well, you've grown a lot. You have 18 members now in the group.
We do,
and,
yes.
And 11 wineries in Summerland.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's amazing. And people are still discovering Summerland as a wine destination.
Yeah.
So we're all up and running and open, ready for a great season.
Yeah.
And we also have cider, beer, and spirits,
yeah,
too.
Well, you've been around for a while. Did you drive through Summerland a lot and ever think that you'd end up here?
I used to drive through it all the time. And then I was lucky enough when I started working in the industry 30 years ago that my boss, Harry McWaters, lived in Summerland. And that's what actually drew me to the area.
Okay.
Was Harry. And I discovered the town by staying at his house with his family.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful town. It's just great. It's one of the quaint little last, you know, small town discoveries in the Okanagan.
Yeah, and it's growing fast.
It is growing fast, yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk a bit about the association because you've put out, I love it, a new touring map for people. So what's the strategy? How should people get around the Bottleneck Drive setup?
Well, it is a bit of a bottleneck because there's no straight line. I mean, other touring areas have a straight line.
Yeah.
But we're a bit of a windy path. And so we did a new touring route that breaks it down into three distinct areas. And there's about seven different wineries to visit or establishments in each route.
Right.
And it just makes it a little bit more manageable for people.
And it's digital. You have a touring passport that's digital. Tell us about that.
Yes. So we had a passport program that we put online. It's all digital this year. So every time you go to one of our members, scan a QR code, it takes you to an entry form. And then you have to add in this secret password for each location, and then you enter. And you can enter anytime you go to another establishment.
Yeah. And the winner gets?
The winner is going to have a wonderful weekend at the Summerland Waterfront Resort.
Oh, wow.
Dinners, special VIP tours, and just a wonderful wine getaway.
Mm-hmm. Well, the weather's great today. What do you make of the current tourism season and how you've come out of the pandemic raring to go?
We certainly have, and we're looking forward to seeing people back.
Yeah.
Last year was a little bit soft, I would think, and I every time I spoke to somebody personally, they were off to Europe. So we think that this is going to be the year for the Okanagan.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about getting people back and touring this area, and Summerland in particular.
Yeah. And Summerland is a wine-producing area. How would you characterize it, perhaps, maybe with the grapes? Or what is there a specialty here that you think will develop over time? Or?
Well, we're mid-Okanagan territory, so we're beautiful for Pinot Noir, Gamay, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, and, of course, the aromatics.
Yeah.
We make sparkling wines, fantastic sparkling wines here.
Yeah.
And I think it's all about gentle, elegant wines. And that's what our territory does really well.
Sparkling wine is having a big moment in BC.
It really is, yes. And I think it's great that people are enjoying a glass of sparkling wine before dinner and when they're out on a patio. And it just seems that it's definitely, we keep talking about it becoming mainstream and not just special occasion. And I think it's really arrived there.
I think it's pushed ahead of Riesling. We're still waiting for Riesling to be mainstream, but that's a different story.
I think I'm kind of giving up on that one. Genesis Robinson was predicting that. What was that, 1991?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think before that. Well, I drink a lot of Riesling, but I'm sure I'm the only one who does. Not because it's not great. It just has been a tough push. But sparkling wine, really, I'm impressed with what we're doing. We have great acidity here. And what we really have is a lot of enthusiastic young people really going at it in working that sparkling wine, which is not an easy wine to make.
No, it isn't. Yeah, it is very much a labor of love. And when you look at, when I look at my cellar and I have 2014 traditional method wine,
yeah,
it's a long play.
It
is a long play.
But it's worth it. Well, Chris, so great to catch up with you. I know we're going to talk to you about your winery operations later in the show, but bottleneckdrive.com, folks can go there and get all the info they need for touring in the area. And you can have a lot of fun in Summerland, and you can reach it from anywhere, Kelowna, Penticton, it's right in the middle, sort of.
Yeah, so instead of whizzing by on the highway,
exactly.
turn left or turn right.
Yeah.
At the light.
And sit down and have a glass of wine and relax. I think that's the only way to go.
Definitely.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Our guest has been Christine Coletta. She's the chair of the Bottleneck Drive Association. She's joined us to kick off the show. We're on Bottleneck Drive. Plenty more coming on our Grape Escape. Stick around. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
There's more to come from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
It ain't easy being number one, and it ain't too modest either. Indulge in your next tomahawk steak at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Voted Kelowna's second best steak and second best fine dining establishment. We hate to brag, but that's an awful lot of modesty. Book your table now at www.modestbutcher.com. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See ya today.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after 4 decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine. So why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com?
Penticton, the hub of South Okanagan wine country. Music lovers won't want to miss the 97 South Song Sessions Festival July 20th to 22nd, a live music event featuring award-winning singers and songwriters performing acoustically and sharing the stories behind their number one hit songs. This year's theme is a spotlight on Nashville. So pack your bags and come to Penticton for wine, food, and music. Go to visitpenticton.com for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan, and our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. One area I love to know more about is Lake Cowichan. Tell us about this special gem.
Well, Lake Cowichan is the most inland of Cowichan's communities. It's situated on Vancouver Island's largest lakes, and it's well known as a paradise for boating, hiking, and camping. Lake Cowichan is also the gateway to Port Renfrew and the world-famous Carmana-Walbrin Provincial Park.
Sounds like it's one of those places to slow down and just enjoy.
Definitely. Lake Cowichan is surrounded by nature. So whether you're camping, staying in a B&B, or renting a houseboat, the lake is your playground for activities like swimming, paddling, water skiing, and fishing. Another really popular activity is tubing down the Cowichan River. This is actually a Canadian heritage river that runs right through the town.
That sounds great. What else can visitors do while they're in the Lake Cowichan area?
You can also visit the Katsa Station Museum to learn about the town's history. You can easily drive to nearby communities of Yubo and Honeymoon Bay. The Yubo Bar and Grill is a local's favorite to enjoy the lakeside views and delicious food. And Honeymoon Bay is beautiful and has a terrific outdoor farmers market during the summer months.
And what about community events? Are there some that we should be aware of?
Yeah, definitely. Just minutes outside of Lake Cowichan is Laketown Ranch, which is a premier festival park. It hosts Sunfest, Western Canada's largest country music festival, and Laketown Shakedown, an awesome 3-day music festival that happens over Canada Day weekend. Also at Laketown Ranch is the Cowichan Valley Bluegrass Festival, which happens in June and is a great family-friendly event.
Sounds great. It sounds like a magical place to live and visit, and of course, lots of good wine available to drink. Thanks so much for painting us a picture of Lake Cowichan.
You're most welcome.
Make your plan to visit Lake Cowichan at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and a shout-out to Vancouver Island and Victoria's CFAX 1070 listeners in all 19 other cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today we're on location in Summerland, and it's our Bottleneck Drive Grape Escape. And we're at Haywire Winery, and joining us is Craig Pingle. He's the general manager for Haywire Winery. That was a long intro, Craig. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking.
You look pretty calm.
I was out
you
at the beach
pretty
today.
Pretty chilled. Yeah. Fantastic. So great to be back at Haywire. Every time I come here, things change, but now it's really changed.
Absolutely.
What's going on? It used to be Okanagan Crush Pad. Now it says Haywire. What's happened?
It's an exciting new time for us here. For the first 12 years of our existence, we were a custom crush facility.
Yeah.
Now we get to embrace our most popular and best-selling brand, which is Haywire, and focus on that on-site here and give Haywire a home.
Yeah. A crush pad, you were working with other wineries, like helping other wineries get their wines out in the market. They're all gone. You get the space back.
Yes,
but
we do.
Although it looks like it's pretty full already, but I haven't been touring all around.
Believe it or not, we're over capacity now with our own brands, which is fantastic.
That's good.
And many wineries got their start here over the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in, using the facility, it's been a great way to build the community here. But now we're over capacity with our own brands, and we're really enjoying being able to focus on this Haywire on site.
Yeah. It's a friendly place. You had an interesting little tasting area that you always did so well, but it's completely changed now. Can you sort of describe the new setup? Because it's pretty hip.
We've built this incredible space. We call it a tasting lounge, which gives that feeling of sit back, relax, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Almost feels like a restaurant. It's bright and airy, floor-to-ceiling windows, about 40 to 50 seats in total. And people, the response has been overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, it's so great. I mean, you can be outside still. There's plenty of space. But I guess it's extending the season as well at the start and the end.
Exactly. Yeah. And it gives people the place to come and visit after a couple of years of the pandemic.
Yeah.
We're hoping to welcome as many guests as possible on site here.
I think you're going to get a lot of guests when they get a look at this place. What is the guest experience to you? What are you doing to really make it happen with the guests?
You know, first of all, it's Summerland, right? Uh-huh. And I feel like it's sort of like little brother to the rest of the valley. We have West Kelowna, Naramata. For me, I'm trying to help Summerland, people stop in Summerland, make it a full day destination.
Mm-hmm.
They don't Bottleneck Drive has 20 different members on it, and cideries, wineries, distilleries, right? Instead of just a pit stop, let's spend a day here on Bottleneck Drive.
You also have a lake, too.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody gets a share of the lake, but you have quite a fantastic view.
We have a beautiful view. You know, we're on the west side of the lake, and so we're focusing on cooler climate grapes here, and that's what the Haywire brand is.
You get that beautiful morning sun to warm you up, but then and late in the day it goes behind the hill, so you don't get toasted sort of in the late hours of the day, which is kind of nice.
It is. You know, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun's sort of dipping behind the mountains, cooling it down after a really hot summer day, and gives guests that reprieve from the sunshine, and they can focus on enjoying the wine.
Greg Pingle is the general manager here at Haywire Winery. We're tasting, by the way, the 2019 Switchback. Let's say a couple words about Switchback, because it's a very special site. Can people actually get into this site? I mean, it's right here.
Absolutely. They come on site, and we want to take people on a tour of the estate vineyard here.
Yeah.
6 acres. It was planted in 2005. It's certified organic. Can bump into the chickens and the ducks if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And we're really proud of this site. It's all Pinot Gris. Creates a really beautiful, cool climate, Pinot Gris style, Alsatian style Pinot Gris. And we're on the 19 right now. very approachable. A lot of people taste it and say, that's definitely one of my favorites. I'll be leaving today with one of those.
Yeah. There's great intensity in this wine. It's sort of like it seems like it packs a little bit on every year as it ages in the bottle. Of course, all the wines are under screw cap. That's been a given here from the get-go. So there's this wonderful freshness and what I would say zero interference from a cork. So that helps a lot with this Pinot Gris. But I just love this vineyard, how it's developed. And in fact, it's looking quite good considering all the woes in the valley this year. It looks fairly healthy.
It's true. We came out of it fairly unscathed, I'd say. Still some work to be done, but yeah. Overall, yeah. a very positive outcome for a very challenging winter.
Yeah. So that's congratulations to the viticultural team, too. I know it's a combined effort here. Let's talk about your labels, because you did another thing which is sometimes crazy, changed your label. You had pretty interesting label with a sort of stitch of haywire around a white label. Tell us about these. Well, there's a bunch of them, new colorful labels.
You know, haywire, we really wanted to embrace the theme of wine with personality. So we added some color to it. We painted a mural, 150-foot mural on the side of the winery, so mm-hmm. that when you're coming down Switchback Drive or Fosbury Road, you can see it a mile away. And so we were inspired by that mural, and that's what the new labels are. They're bright, lots of color to it, and really matches that brand identity of Haywire Wine with Personality.
Yeah, and the feedback from consumers is...
50-50.
50-50? No way. I don't believe that.
I would say overwhelmingly people love the new label. Once they come into the space, they see what we've done with the winery. They mm-hmm. love it. You have a few traditionalists to say, I love that barbed wire label, and that's what I've come to know. But it's a new day here, and that's what we really want to embrace.
Mm-hmm. You see, when I taste this Gamay that we have now in front of us, which vintage do we have? It's 21. So for me, that smells like Haywire. So, yeah. I mean, I love the label, but the label could say nothing. Just smelling that Gamay to me really, really sets the tone. And I think that's probably the most important thing. But it is a pretty gorgeous label. Is it easy to sell Gamay? Because, you know, that's a famous grape in Beaujolais, but a lot of people don't know what Beaujolais is anymore because they drink BC wine mostly.
You keep hearing Gamay more and more this year, last year. People are talking about it a lot more. I think that it's becoming more synonymous with the Okanagan Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, light, fruit-forward wine, soft tannins. I always say it's the cousin to the Pinot Noir, Gamay Noir, and it makes a beautiful Gamay. We did twice-a-day punch-downs for a month with this specific one, and it's all concrete-aged, so it keeps that fruit bright, lively, on the nose.
It's so soft, though, and silky. I just love the effect of the concrete, or that concrete does something to wines that is magical, and for me, even more interesting than barrels. So that wine is just showing so well right out of the gate, and it has a life ahead of it as well, great acidity, so... Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You've had a long journey, actually, in the hospitality business, although you're not that old. What do you make of winery hospitality? Is it different? Is it the same? I mean, it's people, it's hospitality, but how do you approach it now?
Really, it's just bringing them into your own home. That's always my approach. I think it can be fun. Mm-hmm. I think it can be engaging. You don't want to talk at people, like telling them things. They don't want to learn that way anymore.
Right.
They want to ask questions. They want to learn for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And so taking guests through the vineyard, through the winery, they say, hey, how about this? And you sort of guide them along in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But really, at the end of the day, if we can provide an experience where people think, geez, I was really looking forward to stopping at this winery or that winery, but you know the one that really blew me away was Haywire. That was a lot of fun.
Mm.
And their wines are fantastic. And if we can do that, then I say we're winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're winning just being here on this deck and watching the people come and go and the interaction. It's almost like the way it was planned, but now it happens organically.
Yeah.
And of course, everything's organic at Haywire, but it's nice that this is happening the same way.
Thank you very much.
Craig, thanks so much for your time today and joining us and hosting us today on the Bottleneck Drive show. Real pleasure to catch up with you.
Thank you very much.
Craig Pingle, he's the general manager at Haywire Winery. We're coming to you from Haywire Winery on Summerland's Bottleneck Drive. Up next, Sebastian Hutt. He's the vigneron at Lightning Rock Winery just up the road. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate High Altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit IronGateAuctions.com to start bidding now.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca. Tinhorn Creek Vineyards, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile. Stop by Tinhorn's newly opened tasting lounge featuring a fresh cocktail and food menu. And catch amazing summer concerts, including former Bare Naked Ladies frontman Stephen Page, Saturday, July 15th. Tickets on sale now. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. That's Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wines.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio, on location from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Welcome to the show. We're on location in Summerland. It's our Bottleneck Drive Grape Escape. And while we're at Haywire Winery, our guest is Sebastian Hutt, and he's just come over a few kilometers from Lightning Rock Winery just around the corner. Sebastian, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Great to catch up with you. You got a, last time we saw you were at a different winery. You got a new job. How are you enjoying Lightning Rock?
So far, it's been pretty good. I've also been enjoying being back in the Okanagan Valley and Summerland mostly.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, like we were saying earlier on, just a little bit warmer.
I was thinking, yeah, you're up in the Thompson, a little cooler. Now you're here where it's a little warmer, but you're making sparkling wine, which is pretty exciting.
It is. It's something that I personally enjoy partaking in, the winemaking and the drinking, I would say.
Yeah.
And there are some similarities from my previous experience into now moving forward with sort of grape that have like sort of higher acidity, cooler climate.
Yeah, for sure.
It's where I feel comfortable.
Yeah. Well, how hard is it coming in, or like what happens? You can't change anything instantly. Maybe you won't change anything. Maybe you'll tweak it. What do you do? Do you take the time to assess all that, or?
I did definitely spend lots of time with my predecessors and just seeing what their ideologies were, yeah. how things were done. And basically, we are transitioning into my way of doing things, which ends up being the same way. So a big focus for us is on farming organically and putting all of our efforts in the vineyard. And we believe that by doing so, the wines will showcase themselves.
A lot of people farming organically, I always ask, what does that mean for the consumer? Like, why should they care about you farming organically?
Just knowing how things are done, knowing that we actually put special attention into our whole vineyard itself and the whole environment.
Yeah.
I actually live on one of the vineyards, so for me it is quite important. I have a young one-year-old child as well, so
exactly.
I want to be in an environment where I feel comfortable, and I want a consumer to know that we're thinking the same way.
Great reply. Sebastian Hutt, he's a vigneron at Lightning Rock Winery. So Sebastian, I don't want to lose any time on these two wines. You brought two sparkling wines. We're going to taste through them. These are real sparkling wines. They've been fermented in the bottle.
Yes, so they're traditional method or champagne method, all depending of who you ask. What I brought for you today is two Blanc de Noir, so 100% Pinot Noir, and both of them are made the same way, but they're from different vineyard sites. We have three vineyard sites within Summerland, and this is the Alicia Vineyard and the Canyon View Vineyard. Alicia is east-facing, a bit more rocky, definitely some granite influence, as the Canyon View property, which is only 2 kilometers away, is more south-facing, warmer site, and the soils are completely different. The soil base is called Isuya, so it's definitely like a sandy soil.
Yeah.
When we do make the wines, like I was saying, we make them the same way. So primary fermentation is in neutral oak, mainly puncheons, for 4 months, and then they undergo secondary fermentation. It will be under tirage for 12 months. Zero dosage at this gorging, and yeah, just bottle as is.
Wow, that is delicious. you know, people laugh, they say, oh, that guy says, wow, that's delicious. But knowing the history of sparkling wine in BC, to have a wine like that already, after only, say, 20 years of really serious work, that's a great achievement. Now, you didn't make this wine, but you disgorged it, I guess, and cleaned it up.
Yeah. Jordan and Tyler did all of the farming and the winemaking for this. And when I arrived, I was disgorged it and followed in their traditions of just staying with the brut naturel style.
Yep.
Which is zero dosage.
Yeah.
So no sugar added after disgorging. So the wines are definitely dry, but it is something that we want as well. And due to the fact that all of the winemaking is low intervention and natural in the winery, and we felt it was the best way to showcase the wines.
Love it. It's obvious, but Blanc de Noir, white from red grapes, the Pinot Noir grape, the dosage, when you disgorge a wine, you're removing the sediment from the bottle, and you have an option. Many people have an option of adding a bit of sugar or whatever to the wine, but zero means nothing, right?
Yes, nothing.
So you're getting just the pure wine.
If there's anything left, it was what was left during secondary fermentation, but these wines ate through all of the sugar during that fermentation to create sort of a nice effervescence.
So it's really good for your waistline.
Extremely good for your waistline.
Yeah, okay. So if we taste these two wines, how would you describe the differences? You describe the soils. How does it come out in the wine?
For me personally, I find the Canyon View is more sort of like the aperitif wine or like an oyster wine, right? It's a bit more bright and linear. And then compared to the Alicia, which has actually more structure, there's a little bit more, I would say, intellect going into the wine, more body, a lot more happening.
Hmm.
So they are almost like night and day, one to start the evening and one to end the evening.
A little more electricity, I think, in the Alicia.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are quite different. But in a, they seem like brother and sister, but they are different.
They definitely are. And I feel the best way to actually notice these differences is doing what we're doing now and enjoying them side by side and spending that moment to just think about them.
Yeah. I know you're spending a lot of time in the vineyard and the winery, but at the winery itself, what's for people who are in Summerland, can they visit the winery? What sort of things are available when you get to Lightning Rock?
So at the moment, we are open 7 days a week. We're open for the season, 11 to 4. We offer a 5-wine flight. for some guests that would want, I offer personal tours of our vineyards as well.
Oh, nice.
And by doing so, we will drink the wine in the vineyard.
Yeah.
So people get a sense of where these wines are coming from.
Yeah. I think that's important to taste wine in a vineyard that it's grown in. It's a completely different experience than any other. Obviously, not at the dinner table, not in a bar, but actually in the vineyard. It really attaches you to the place.
Exactly. And also, it's really important as a vineyard to do the same thing and fully understand and immerse yourself in the property.
Yeah. Now, you have a number of events coming up. You probably don't know about it, but I'm going to help you out on that. July 15th, the Brodo Kitchen, a five-course meal at the winery. So you might be there talking to folks.
I'll be there talking about the wines and how we're coming up with the pairings with the chef as well.
Yeah. And you probably know that July 28th to October 27th at the winery, once a month, songs and snacks featuring live music and a food truck. So you can eat on those days while you're working, which would be good during the harvest.
It will be good during the harvest. And not just myself, but the whole team as well.
Yeah.
Those are the days that will be happy to come into work.
Yeah. And cocktails and canapés on August 5th. That's a sparkling wine and library wines, which is always fun. Have you had a chance to look at some of the older wines at Lightning Rock since
you
arrived?
I have. It was sort of one of the first things I did when I arrived, just to see how the progressions of the wine has been.
Yeah.
And some of them are just fabulous. The 18 Pinots, we have only a small amount left.
Yep.
I think only the Canyon View left, if I'm not mistaken. Just really drinking nicely at the moment, and the tannins are starting to soften. Just a little bit, lots of complexity showing through with those tertiary aromas.
Well, we should mention, we were talking a lot about sparkling wine, but there are other wines made at Lightning Rock. So so the Pinot Noirs are they've been exceptional from the start.
Yes.
And?
Chardonnay, Viognier,
yeah.
A tiny, tiny amount of Syrah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been lucky enough to get some.
Yes, I have. Did they build this winery for you or what?
Like, it seems like a
job to walk into.
For me, it's pretty much all of the varietals I would like to work with.
Yeah.
If we talk about Syrah, I feel like treating Syrah the same way as what you would Pinot Noir, just be gentle and delicate.
Yeah.
And the Viognier is part of our sparkling program and the still program.
Yeah.
That's just a small 1 acre component as well. So,
Sebastian, we're almost out of time. Just a quick question. How did you manage over the winter with your vineyards?
I'm confident to say that we manage fairly good.
Uh-huh.
There's, as everything in life, sometimes we tend to be a little bit too pessimistic without knowing the results.
Yeah.
But nature is way more resilient than we would give her.
For sure.
And
smarter than us.
Exactly. There's obviously some damage. Let's not like hide ourselves from that, but it's not as bad as expected.
That's fantastic news. Well, Sebastian, I'm really excited you're at Lightning Rock, and I can't wait to come up and visit you and taste on-site and maybe taste in the vineyard. What a great idea to taste sparkling wine right in the vines where it's grown.
The best idea.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
That was Sebastian Haught. He's the vigneron at Lightning Rock Winery. We're coming to you from Haywire Winery as we talk with wineries all along Summerland's Bottleneck Drive. Up next, Allison Moyes, GM and winemaker for Silvero Wines. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this summer. After a day full of activities, stop in for a visit to one of the almost 100 area wineries. Bask in the beautiful South Okanagan sunshine with a summer wine tasting and find your new favorite wine. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants and enjoy patio season too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing summer getaway. Before you go, make sure to check for information on wine tours, winery events, and help in planning your trip online at visitpenticton.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Aaron Krebda, Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Aaron, it's summertime and a great time to explore with the family. Give us some ideas for planning to spend some time in Langley this summer.
Well, I'd encourage packing a cooler and taking a self-guided Circle Farm tour of Langley. There you could do your grocery shopping right at the farm for the freshest ingredients like cheese and berries and, of course, a bottle or two of local wine. And you can find options at circlefarmtour.ca.
Okay, I like that. Keeping it local, that's a great way to spend a day. What else should we be doing on a summer bucket list for Langley?
A very different option would be to take in a game of one of our two professional sports teams, the Vancouver FC, which is a brand new soccer team, or the Vancouver Bandits basketball team.
Okay, that's a great idea, and that would probably leave some time to spend before or after the game. Any suggestions for that?
Definitely, I would recommend trying one of our local restaurants. Many of them use locally grown ingredients.
And you mentioned there's something that happens on summer nights that's unique to Langley.
Yes, the Twilight Drive-In. It's the only drive-in in Metro Vancouver. You bring some chairs or blankets for your car, and you've got a guaranteed fun night out for a couple or family.
Okay, that brings back some great summer memories. Speaking of summer nights, you also have a night market.
Yes, the Fort Langley Night Market. It's a great way to spend a Friday night in July and August in the village. It happens at the corner of Mary and Glover with local drinks, food trucks, vendors, and live music.
And will there be any live music festivals?
Yeah, the Fort Langley Jazz and Arts Music Festival is taking place July 20th to 23rd, and it's got a variety of events each day.
And more details for all of these ideas are on your website.
That's right.
Aaron, thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony. I'll talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older.
Hello, British Columbia. We're on the road again. Today we're on location in Summerland on Bottleneck Drive at Haywire Winery. Our next guest is Allison Moyes. She's the GM and winemaker for Solvero Wines. Have you heard of Solvero Wines? Maybe. They just opened. How are you, Allison?
I'm well. Thanks, Anthony.
So great to see you. And talking about a brand new winery up in Garnet Valley.
Yeah.
It's got to be exciting, huh?
It's very exciting. It's been a long road to get here. We've been in development for almost 10 years.
Wow. So is it going the way you want it to go now?
Well, there's been unexpected obstacles along the way, but we've reached the end goal, and very happy to release four wines that I'm very proud of this year in the tasting room.
So how would you introduce Solvero? What would you tell people about this site and what you're going to do there?
Well, it's something very different than anywhere else in the Okanagan. I feel like we're forging a bit of a new wine region in Garnet Valley.
Mm-hmm.
The comments we've gotten so far is that it's a whole different world. You know, people are discovering this new valley and this new place. It really is a beautiful drive from the highway.
And Garnet Valley, in your estimation now, what's unique about it as a wine-growing place?
So what we've come to find is that the narrowness of the valley offers up a few minutes less sunlight per day, but similar growing degree days.
Yep.
And we tend to achieve a full ripeness and flavor at lower sugar levels with natural acidity.
Win-win-win.
Yeah, the balance is there, certainly for Pinot One Chardonnay.
Yeah, people get turned around on the map, but the valley is, what direction does the valley run? East, west, north, south, how would you describe that?
So it's to the west of the main Okanagan Valley and runs parallel to it, so north to south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just above the town of the area of Summerland, known as Summerland.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's a really exciting because, well, I always talk to Christine Coletta about people just driving through Summerland, but that's not the case anymore. People have to stop now. There's lots going on.
That's very true.
Yeah. So you brought a couple wines today. You brought the 21 Chardonnay and the 19 Pinot Noir. So these are the first releases?
That's right, yes.
Are you excited?
Very, yeah. So these are our two flagship wines.
Yeah.
Very small batch production. The Chardonnay is actually less than 50 cases. So we are limiting that in terms of purchases per person.
Yeah.
And then about 400 cases of the Pinot Noir.
Okay, well, maybe we should pour them out and we can have a quick sip of them while we're chatting. I love the labels, which look like the vineyards, I would guess.
That's exactly right.
From the drawings.
Each label is unique and reflects the vineyard block where the grapes were harvested.
Mm-hmm. What's your strategy with Chardonnay?
Well, I do like a barrel fermented Chardonnay, but want the fruit to be the main focus. So with such a small production, that can be a little bit of a tricky thing.
Yeah.
And my strategy was to have the wine in one second fill barrel just for a few months,
yeah,
and then transfer to a neutral barrel so we get a little
bit of oak and a lot of oxygen instead.
That's right.
Yeah.
And lots of lees stirring to build texture and a beautiful, beautiful palette.
Is the site a mix of clones or one clone, or what's happening in the actual vineyard?
So the Chardonnay, we have two clones, clones 76 and 95. One cool block is a high density block, which is very hard to farm, a lot of very labor intensive. But we're getting our first crop off of it this year, so that'll add another dynamic to the wine for 2023.
Way to go. This is the 21 Chardonnay that we're tasting, which is a little Burgundian for me, which is a really good start.
Excellent. That's what
exactly
I'm going for.
What you're going for, I would hope, because it's quite delicious. And, well, just a baby. It's probably good in a sort of 5 to 7 year range, do you think? Something like that?
I think so. It has the legs for that.
Yeah. And the Pinot Noir, is it, are they like nearby? I mean, of course, in Burgundy, they're almost side by side, but.
Yeah, so we've got 10 acres of Pinot Noir planted to 7 clones. And the property is steeply sloped and is sort of. Got gullies and ponderosa pines running through it. So we have 10 acres of Pinot and then a gully with a line of ponderosa pines and then the 3 blocks of Chardonnay on the other side of that.
So they're all... and by the way, folks, they seem to be relatively modest in price. The Chardonnay is what? Is it roughly 30... $35?
It's $30.
$30. And the Pinot Noir is $35.
That's right.
Very modest.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go. Let's try this Pinot. And what about these? Is this another mix of clones? Or?
It is. This is a mix of 7 different clones of Pinot Noir.
That's good.
And it is what drew me to the project, the number of clones and the vineyard site itself. I think this is a really interesting wine. A couple of clones that I hadn't worked with before, clones 943 and Swan, which add another element. And it's people often don't expect that this is only 12.2% alcohol.
I was just going to say it's feather light for me. So that I was wondering about that 12.3.
Yeah, and
wow.
But really sort of intense tannins and
but it's got big flavor and then it has this wonderful sort of mid palate elegance, like you don't feel any of the weight of the alcohol at all. Well, there is no alcohol really. That's kind of the Burgundy we had 25 years ago. 12.5%. And that's probably achievable most years in this climate, I would think.
Yeah, certainly where we are, it's been pretty consistent since I've been there. And all natural acidity, which is just wonderful.
Yeah. And so are you protected from the late day sun on the site, or is it, you probably need all you can get up there? But
We actually like, it's about maybe 10 minutes less sunlight per day.
Yeah.
But it does get hotter in the main part of the day as well. So we have similar growing degrees, but just a little bit less sunlight. And I think that is what allows us to retain that nice acidity.
These are the first wines that have come from the property, or have they sold grapes or anything before? Or?
So the first vintage was actually 2018, but there was a fire that came right up to the perimeter of the property that year.
Yeah.
I think they were, it was before I joined the team, but I think they were preparing to battle the fire, and luckily the winds shifted.
Yeah.
But the wine suffered as a result, and it wasn't what we wanted to go to market with. So the 2019 became the first wine, and then I did release a 2020 Chardonnay last year.
Okay.
I'm
speaking with Allison Moy. She's the GM and winemaker for Solvero Wines in the Garnet Valley, a brand new winery in British Columbia. They're popping up all over the place, but what I'm so impressed with is these new wineries. They seem to open with a sense of and purpose of they know what's going on and what they're doing. Which is, it's so refreshing from sort of the old days, stick something in the ground and hope for the best kind of wineries. Like, it looks like everything's been really well thought out from the bottles, the way the bottles look, the labels, the immediate impression of the wines. It's a really great first foot forward, I think, or step forward.
Well, thank you for that. We take that as the highest compliment.
Well, you should, and I don't need to wish you luck. I think you're going to be swamped with people. Now, what about getting there and visiting or trying these wines? How does it work?
Yes. So right now it's a two-person operation. Matt Sartor and myself. And yeah. Matt Sartor, it's his family's winery.
Sure.
He planted the vineyard himself, and he and I are wearing many hats at this point, and that will include hosting guests.
Wow.
When they book an appointment to
absolutely
come see
the
us.
Best chance ever to be with the winemaker. That's fantastic. You have no time for that.
No.
Though, do you? Really?
That'll be for this season. We are opening from the production side this year. So uh-huh. you'll experience a behind the scenes tour. You'll see the new winery facility, the tank room, the barrel room. And then we finish with a seated tasting on the crush pad.
Yeah. Well, this is an impressive start. And you've started a wine club where people can go online. You can go to solverowines.ca where you can sign up for the club, because I don't imagine there'll be a lot of wine around. You say there's a bit in the city, though, in restaurants.
Yeah.
Or retail.
We have some product on the shelf at Marquee Wine Cellars and Kitsilano Wine Cellar. Forage Restaurant carries some of our wine. We've been pretty select with where we place it because of the low production.
Yeah.
But if you do want access to the Chardonnay, and I think this is probably my favorite of the wines that we have, we only have 40 or so cases of it. So in order to get that, you sign up for the wine club.
If you're going to collect all the vintages, you need the first one. That's the most valuable one, folks. And you can get that by driving up to the winery and purchasing it there on site. Maybe you'll actually meet Allison while she's doling it out at the door.
Absolutely.
You have no time for that.
Allison,
it's great to meet you. I'm going to come up and visit you and have a look at the property. It's so great. It's exciting wines.
Oh, wonderful. I look forward to that.
Okay, that was Allison Moy. She's the GM and winemaker for Solvero Wines, which is located in the Garnet Valley just above the town of Summerland. We are coming to you from Haywire Winery. Up next, Christine Coletta and Matt Dumain join us to talk more about Garnet Valley, in this case, Garnet Valley Ranch Winery. You're listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated conference and event center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate High Altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
Plan your family road trip this summer to Penticton. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and make sure to mark your calendar and then head for Peach Fest August 9th to 13th. 5 days of free family fun, including parades, live music, entertainment, carnival rides, sports, delicious food, and more. Penticton is the ideal destination for a summer getaway with the whole family. Before you go, make sure to check the website for lots more upcoming events at visitpenticton.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after 4 decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine, so why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com?
This is BC Food and Wine Radio, on location from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive, just like animals.
Hello, BC, and thanks for listening wherever you are across British Columbia on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. It's our Summerland Bottleneck Drive, Grape Escape, and we're coming to you from Haywire Winery. But we're joined by Matt Dumaine, the winemaker at Garnet Valley Ranch Winery, just up the road. Matt, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Steiner. Good to be here again.
It's great to be here with you. We're going to talk a bit about the big new venture, Garnet Valley Ranch, which is fully blossomed now, almost ready to go. I hear you almost have a license up there as well.
It's looking really nice up there, yeah. So we get our manufacturing license in another week's time. So we're halfway through construction on a...
I heard you say you never have to leave the house now.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. You know, the winery's looking great. Outlook's all operational for tasting, and the winery's going to be in completion for this harvest.
So. And you had a pretty good... you avoided most of the deep freeze. It's been so far decent.
It's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we're a lot better off than a few people further down south, I understand. But it's a... patches here and there, but we shouldn't be suffering too much by any means.
I think you're pretty used to farming anyways, right?
Yeah, it's with the way the property is set up, even though it's quite a high elevation, it's really slopey, so it gets a really nice wind flow, and that tends
that
to drainage, you know, drains
that
a lot
helps.
Of the cold away. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to get right to the wines because sometimes we run out of time. So let's talk about the new releases from Garnet Valley. We're going to taste the Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, but there's also a traditional method sparkling that's out in the market as well.
Yeah, so we did a 2016 traditional, which is 50-50 Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. It's been sitting on terroir for about 5 years now, so
Fantastic. Just
recently disgorged. It's looking really good. Zero dosage, of course, as is our style. We don't like, you know, sugar encumbering the actual vineyard.
Why is it so interesting to spend 60 months in the bottle? What's happening that really, you know, makes that wine special?
It's just you get a lot of that yeast breaking down, that autolysis characteristic. So it's really nice secondary notes, bready, brioche. For me, again, it's, you know, it's all about developing
complexity,
texture and mouthfeel in the wine. So
we
have beautiful natural acidity up there. So extended lees aging just, you know, pairs so well for a textural aspect.
You know Switchback very well. Is it completely different in a place like Switchback versus what's happening up in Garnet?
The farming regime is pretty similar with Duncan, but, you know, Switchback is a whole separate entity by itself. It doesn't taste like any other Pinot Gris in the Okanagan, I don't think.
Yeah.
Minimize the yields. We really stress the deep watering cycles. So, you know, we're getting a lot of intense... richness and mouthfeel in those wines as well.
And Garnet itself, like, is it, how many years is it now? Is it, it's got to be 7 or 8 at least.
First plantings were 2013.
Okay. Yep. So is it what you thought it would be at this point, or more or less or different?
It's definitely coming into its own. I mean, with the high elevation and the soil type, it's, you know, it's taken a bit longer to come online than, say, a conventionally farmed vineyard on the valley floor. It's very much what we expected. It's very delicate, very ethereal, really good acidity, which we always knew would be in place, and which, you know, is a hallmark for Haywire and OCP.
Well, let's talk about your Chardonnay. What's the game here? What's the goal besides doing nothing?
I mean, the goal with any of these Garnet Valley wines is to really highlight the vineyard primarily and the Okanagan as well. It's everything's whole bunch pressed, so we're not beating anything up. Where the fruit that Duncan brings to us, you know, runs through the sorting table, but we might pull out a leaf or two, and that's pretty much it. His farming is pretty meticulous.
It surprises me that it's tropical. Like, it's got this beautiful fruit in it. I was thinking it wouldn't have that at that elevation, but it's really, really fruity.
Yeah, we pick it a touch earlier as well. It probably comes in around 22 bricks. Mm. You know, for us, the key is the balance and the acidity.
Yeah.
You know, there's no enzymes added to it. There's no racking as juice. It's a relatively warmer ferment, around 20 degrees Celsius, and that takes place in concrete, some very, very neutral puncheons, and some amphora. And then we'll top them up and age them for a year in those same vessels. So, you know, there's a distinct lack of oak, so the vineyard is the primary focus.
Creamy, though. Lovely texture.
it's again,
you would think some people might think, well, that's there's oak in that. It's not, the oak. It's
again,
it's
once
texture.
The wine's in tank, I mean, we leave it alone and we watch it. We monitor it heavily, but there's no need to rack anything until, you know, a week or two before bottling. So so it's staying on its gross lees, and that's just enhancing the mouthfeel quite heavily.
Lovely. What would the alcohol level be in this wine?
The Pinot and the Chard are both 12.5%.
Wow. So. Wow. Congratulations.
Just means you can drink more.
That's an amazing amount of intensity and flavor for 12.5% wine.
Yeah, and for relatively young vines, I mean, every year the complexity and the depth of flavor gets a lot more intense as well. So it's an amazing vineyard site, and we're really, really lucky to have it.
Yeah, so this wine is out now. By the way, people soon, they'll be able to go up now to the Garnet Valley Ranch and actually taste the wine on site.
1st of June, you can make bookings through the Haywire website. I think there's 3 or 4 tours per day, and yeah, you'll get
to... I imagine these are Tudor tasting tours with Matt Dumain.
Occasionally, yeah, we've got a pretty highly trained bunch of people up here, so you know, you'll be driving around the vineyard looking at all the blocks.
Yeah,
it is the highest elevation vineyard
which
in Canada.
Is great.
And then into our brand new concrete built tasting room called The Outlook for
which is a
very
great
private
setting.
Tasting.
By the way, highest elevation, what is the elevation for people who are asking in their heads roughly?
The highest point are just above 2,500 feet.
Wow. That is high.
Mm.
That's among the very highest in the whole region then.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple down in Oliver, but they're shy by a few hundred feet, so.
Yeah. Okay, over to the Pinot Noir. A different animal.
Same regime. We have a Delta Ocellus here, so there's no actual mechanical shearing of the berries. It's a very, very inertia, gravity-driven destemming machine. It's the Cadillac of destemmers. You get essentially 100% whole berries in there. We put a little bit of whole bunches too. I like the herbaceous aspect and the mid-palate tannin structure you can get from whole bunches. Probably 4 weeks on skins. Everything's plunged by hand, minimally, twice a day, just to keep the cap nice and moist. And
Matt, that's a beautiful wine.
Basket pressed, back
wow.
into concrete and amphora. Maybe an old barrel here or there, but you know, when I'm saying old barrels, we're talking 10 years plus. So.
Yeah, you don't feel that, but what you do get is you get a bit of Okanagan in this wine, which I really like. So. You know, this is a Pinot Noir from the Okanagan. You get that sort of desert. There's a desert scrub, something, just a hint of it, but really just sort of, I don't know, winding its way through a really silky, deliciously styled Pinot Noir.
Awesome. Thank you.
Really nice wine. What do you think about the aging potential for these two wines, the Chardonnay and the Pinot?
Well, the acidity is fairly generous. It's not searing by any means, but you know, we have relatively low pHs and a decent acidity, so you know, I'm comfortable in looking at these in 10 years time quite easily.
Wow. Well, Matt, always a pleasure to chat with you about these wines, and I'm happy to hear that you'll have a little winery up there.
Oh, it's going to be
very
great.
Soon.
Yeah, please come and visit.
Thanks for joining us. By the way, OkanaganCrushPad.com/Garnet Valley Ranch Winery, all the details on these wines and visiting and all the things you can do in the Garnet Valley. Thanks for joining us today, folks. That's it for the show, and a special thanks to Summerland's Bottleneck Drive and our hosts, Haywire Winery, and our production team, including our on-site producer, Mike Whittingham, studio producer, Dwayne Bishop, and assignment producer, Sherry Caleb, director of Ops, Stu Ferguson. I'm Anthony Gizmondi, and for all of us at the show, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
That's it for today's show. On location from Bottleneck Drive in Summerland, this is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gizmondi.